You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
All right, we are joined by Mr. Hockey himself. When Pat says before we crack the mics, I've got some hockey questions, then we roll out the red carpet for you, Pat. So fire away.
These are pretty simple questions, but the first one is I was reading the game story on the Wild, and it says, this has to be a typo, Jordan Greenway scored his first goal of the season?
No, it's true. That's correct. I can confirm it.
How is that possible?
I saw it in person.
How is that possible?
Let's see here. Slow start.
Yeah.
What's his problem? He can't put the biscuit in the basket, huh?
Yeah. He tipped in a puck last night. In fact, it was a patented Patrick Roycey goal last night. Mm-hmm. Tip in right in front.
But what does he take? No shots or what?
He doesn't shoot a lot. No, he moves his feet a lot. He's a big rig. That's the nickname.
A big rig.
The big rig. But no, Pat. He can ghost and kind of coast around for a long time.
Well, who do we got him playing with? Stewie Gavin and Gaetan Deschene or something that he can't ever score a goal for?
Basil McRae. He's playing with Perry Barizan. He's back with Eriksson Ek and Foligno. They tried Eriksson Ek to start the season with Kaprizov, and they abandoned that now. And so he's back with the two guys that Dean likes to play him with the most.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
I saw that. And here's my other one.
Uh-huh.
Rob Brind'Amour, where's he coach? Carolina?
Yeah.
Gets fined $25,000 for screaming at the refs.
Yeah.
Off the bench. What the hell's that? It's hockey. They scream at the coaches, scream at the refs. That's what they do.
Yeah, I've never heard, like, are they doing that? Is that a thing? We're fining coaches for yelling at refs?
Yes.
In fact, the league sent out a memo a couple days ago basically saying that there has been such a proliferation of coaches screaming and complaining and complaining to the press that they're going to start to fine them $25,000 each time they do it now.
And really? the NFL doesn't do that.
So this is the start of something?
Yes.
Is there screaming, like if the screaming includes profanities, then you're going to get fined, or just screaming?
I think it's arbitrary. I'm sure it's F-bombs, but yeah.
I suppose it depends upon what of a softy ref you have, whether he writes you up or not.
That's right.
Do you remember, Pat, though, what drives me crazy is back in the day when Sonmore would get mad and he would grab a player's stick and he would get up on the bench and take the stick and bang it off the boards to get the attention of the ref. And yell and MF that guy. I miss those days.
Yes.
And then between periods, Louis would go downstairs to the officials' room, pound on the door, and MF him some more.
Yes. That was, and you and I have always talked about Ronnie Carone from the St. Louis Blues, who was mentally ill. Nicest guy ever. Then the game started, and he was insane. That's hockey. That's part of the game. And, Ren Blair, the first coach, wasn't athletic, but he was known to stand on the boards and scream at them.
Yeah. I miss those days.
I can't believe you're finding a hockey coach for screaming at the refs. That's what they do. You know, the guys who get away with it more than anybody, NFL coaches can still scream at them. I think.
Oh, it's yes. Yeah. And it's usually the, what do you call him? The side judge or the linesman, whatever you call that guy. Like, he'll make some calls, but usually that guy takes the brunt of the mad coach for the umpire or the ref, whoever's in the middle of the field, right?
Yes, that's in fact, those are the guys they must, when they're assigning them to positions, they must say, who has the worst hearing here?
Let's put Larry over there. He can't hear
what they're screaming at him anyway. Every sport is getting, umpires don't take nearly the abuse that they used to take. And NBA, they slap technicals on guys left and right. But the hockey, man, it was, God never intended hockey to not be. Soccer refs get abused rather viciously too, but they're usually the coach is so far away they can't hear them anyway, right?
All right. So if your resting wild temperature is 98.6 degrees, what is your level of wild fever right now, Pat?
Well, I'll wait till April to get fever, but they're going to go in as a one, two, or three seed in the West, and should have an opponent they could. They have advanced through the first round once since when, Judd?
Twice since 2015
was the last time they won a playoff series. 2015.
Yeah. So
because they beat the Blues and lost the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think? This is going to be, if you get beat in the first round this year with this team, there's going to be some upset people because there's, you know, this is a well-timed good season for them, though, because obviously the season tickets were way down at post-pandemic. And we saw that Tuesday night crowd when even those liars could only announce 15,000. That meant that the season ticket base wasn't the old 16,000 that it was for years.
Yes, and in fact, we saw the same thing last night. When they play Tuesday night games against a team like this, you can't fudge it. Like, there are a lot of good empty seats.
What are they gonna do with that franchise in Phoenix? They're in worse shape than Florida because they're getting evicted.
The greatest story ever. That's an old school sports story
We'd rather have a flower show than you guys in our sparkling new arena out here. So.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yes. Anyway, those are my hockey questions.
Okay.
Where else we gotta go?
I think this might be the best start to a Timberwolves season since the Jimmy Butler season, I guess. And they did have a year where they started like 10-8 and then lost 11 straight under Ryan Saunders. So I guess they have started like 10-9 before. So at what point do you buy into this being an actual winning team?
Right now, because when you look at the West, I said it the other day, four seed is possible. You know, there's just a big jumble of mediocre teams, and you might be better than most of them. You got three good teams, and the rest of them are, you know, not much to write home about. Now you look at the Lakers, and you would expect them to, pick it up a little bit. But LeBron is, you can finish ahead of the Lakers. The Lakers are going to win 40. You know, they could win 43, 44. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, the West isn't that good. The Spurs stink. Memphis isn't as good as they were supposed to be. Morant's hurt. That hurts, obviously. But there's, you know, New Orleans is terrible. There's enough. Sacramento is not as good as people thought they were going to be. Okay, and they're not okay. But I did watch a lot of the second half of the Warriors and the Suns last night. That was a hell of a game, even after Devin Booker pulled a hamstring. So that'll hurt them for a while. But Chris Paul was fantastic down the stretch. He's still got that little 8-foot bunny when you want to get it, man. He was terrific.
Yeah, he just gets that elbow every, like, they know he's gonna do it. He knows he's gonna do it. The entire arena does, and he still gets that shot off.
I love a guy who doesn't need to shoot threes or layups, you know, who will still shoot the 12-footer and make it and break your heart. And they played defense like crazy against Curry last night too. They have this Mikal Bridges, and he defended the hell out of Curry last night and made him rush all his threes. And, that was a good game. And they play again Friday night, I think, in Golden State at San Francisco. But that was a fun regular season game, and that crowd was going insane.
Yes.
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think there's more Suns' interest than Coyotes' interest in Arizona right
just,
now.
It's pretty close.
You sure about that?
It's pretty close.
It's a pretty big hockey town.
I'm going out on that limb right now and say it.
Go Kessel's pretty big there, Pat. Yeah. I'm not sure.
So when I didn't even look at our schedule. Our fellas home got to be home again this week, right?
Who, the Wolves?
Yeah, the Wolves.
Monday against the Hawks.
Monday against – when are the Lakers coming? No, the Lakers have been here, right?
The Wolves play mostly playoff teams too the next like 3 weeks, so you know I still have like every time the Wolves like get on a little bit of a run, I still have flashbacks to like 15 game losing streaks that could strike at any time. So
I'm, well, not having Beverly will hurt him, because I think Beverly is the guy that brought the defensive ethic to this team, and Vanderbilt, and they got some other guys, but it is amazing to me that Finch was hired as a as an offensive coach, right? He's supposed to be, that's his background, and he's got to play the best defense they've played since Garnett left, and since 04 probably, right?
Yeah, it's kind of shocking that a guy who specializes on one side of the ball can also be competent on the other side of the ball.
Isn't that something? But it's if you go to hockey, it's the opposite. I expected Evason to be playing this defensive, that's a crusty old coach. I figured, and
they lead the league in goals.
I know they go up and down.
Defensemen are joining in the play, Pat. 85 Oilers. That's what we got here. Now we got Gretzky, Curry.
The power play might not be as good.
Yeah,
Gretzky,
that's true.
Curry, Anderson, Coffee,
Mr. Puck, right here, exactly.
Yes,
that power play might have been a little better.
This power play.
I've always told
you
guys about when we were up there for when the North Stars had the misfortune of making the semis with Mahoney, the conference finals, a very mediocre team. And I went up to Edmonton for games 1 and 2. And game 1, 7-0 Oilers. No music blasting in the arena. 7 times polite applause from the Edmonton crowd as they scored. Hey, hey, okay.
Like a par putt.
And they all moved it. The whole game, everybody in the stands is going, moving their heads, following the puck. Now I'm sure they got the same crowd that we do now with the music blasting and everything. But that was a hockey crowd, man. And they, they win 7-0, and all these guys in their big winter jackets are walking out saying, "Oh, that was a pretty good game."
Okay. Now, were they like that because they were just so used to 8 goals being scored every game, or was that the way that they observed hockey?
Well, I think they observed hockey that way, but the fact that they didn't go nuts because they won 7-0 in game 1 of the conference finals was an indication that they just knew it was going to happen. And the only thing that, the only reaction you were going to really get out of them was if they didn't win the cup, somebody was going to pay, man. They won what, 4 in a row, and then Gretzky left, and then they missed one, and then won one more.
They won one more, yeah.
But won one more.
I think you're right. I don't think that we scared them, Pat.
No,
I'm
sure.
I don't think the Stars put the fear of the Lord in that Oilers team. I think
that's
when
I drove out to the Sutter Farm where they have the 7 sons, and 6 of them played in the NHL. And Gracie, the mother, was great, but the father wouldn't come in off the tractor. He was out there. And then Mike, the brother, was running the farm, the only one that didn't make it to the NHL. Their others were all making it. I went and stopped in the bar in town, and one of the inappropriate old guys in there drinking said, "Yeah, we always wanted Gracie Sutter to get together with Gretzky's father, and then we could have a superstar who went into the corners like the Sutters." They were this little town on the prairie, hardly anybody. Viking Alberta, right?
And yep, Viking Alberta.
6 kids from one family played in the NHL.
Amazing. That's amazing. Pat, are you worried that Rob Refsnyder is going to become the next David Ortiz now that he signed with the Red Sox?
Oh, did the Red Sox take him? He seemed like a really nice kid.
He did.
Great guy.
He's a great guy.
He'll enjoy Pawtucket and get up. If somebody gets hurt, he'll get to play a little bit, a couple of times. But when you're announcing you got your alleged center fielder for 7 years, it doesn't look good for either. It wouldn't have looked good for Rob, and it doesn't look good for Jake either. Although Jake, uh, That was weird. They signed Jake, but then they sent him to, I don't know what. So
he's, I think he's still, he's off the 40 man,
yeah,
but
he's a twin farmhand unless somebody chooses to claim him in his new contract, right?
Correct.
Which
yes.
is not very probable.
I don't think, I think he's making like, it's like an $800,000 contract if he.
11:59 tonight, though. They can't, if
yeah,
anybody's
it's over.
On the 40 man, they can't deal with him at all, I don't think. After tonight, after the lockout starts tonight. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Boy. No. There's probably going to be more signings. There's a couple big shortstops out there still, and some pitchers.
Today, it would have to be today. And also, all the guys who got non-tendered, they moved up the non-tender date so they could make deals today if they wanted to. So, you know, Twins might make a deal with a non-tender guy or two today. Who knows?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot. I'm sure they'll be back in June if we're lucky.
I was looking up some stats from when Byron Buxton signed with the Twins. Because if I get a chance, I want to ask him what he thinks of the game that he came into and what he sees in the game now. You know, 13 hitters over 300 in both leagues, 66 pitchers in a six-game World Series, mm-hmm. and 8,000 more strikeouts than the year that he signed in the big leagues. I wonder what he could have played football. He could have actually had people watching him if he'd stayed healthy, right?
Would he have been a receiver? I mean, he would have been an incredible football player.
He was a running back in high school, but they might have turned him into a receiver because he certainly didn't have the thick body when he came out of high school. He's gotten bigger now, but I think if he got the corner, he would have been in good shape, don't you? I would have hated to have been trying to cut him off with the angle I had on him.
Could return kicks.
Yeah, he could. How about the guy the Vikings have discovered that none of us ever heard of?
Wang Wu, yes.
Iowa State boy. Iowa State lad. So,
yeah, I think maybe it's time to get him a couple snaps on offense here going into week 13,
Delvin, that's
12.
That's going to happen, right?
He did get a snap last week when Dalvin got hurt. Yeah, it is funny that the Vikings, you know, sometimes they just, look at this guy that's been at practice for several weeks.
It's really fast. What can he do?
A 4.240 maybe can help our offense.
He's a chief. He's the kind of guy that the Chiefs bring in every year. Who's this guy? Who's Hardman?
Yeah.
Now you might not have the quarterback that can take advantage of that quite like they have in Kansas City, but You can't. What do the old timers say? You can't coach speed. So
no, you can't. Yes. Okay. True. We can talk more about the Vikings on Friday, but I just got a sneaking suspicion about this Lions game on the road.
No, don't worry.
I don't know.
Don't worry. The Lions have got to be properly depressed.
They keep fighting. They keep chewing kneecaps.
Properly.
Yes. I knew that guy was a lunatic when he got the job, but I'm almost feeling sorry for him. I don't want to have anything bad happen to him personally because he's got to be close to a nervous breakdown. By the way, I watched yesterday. I watched Roadrunner, the Bourdain movie.
Oh yeah,
that'll depress you.
Oh really?
The last half hour when you see his decline it's pretty insightful, pretty dang good. And he used to be the bottom line for a lot of people is he used to be addicted to heroin and he was always addicted to something. And at the end, he was addicted to Asia Argento, the actress that was he had a relationship with her, and when that was going south, obviously the problems were deeper than her, and she had nothing to do with it, but it wasn't in no way her fault, but he went lunatic on it. So anyway.
So if the Vikings do lose to the Lions, maybe pop that documentary into brighten the mood.
And then you won't feel quite as bad. That's right.
I want to watch it.
You feel worse about Anthony Bourdain, who I loved, than anything. Yeah, it's they kind of, you know, do a pretty good job of building up his career, but then they start showing the decline, and it's not good.
So. No, I want to check it out. That's definitely on the December viewing list here.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, Pat. We'll talk Friday. That's Patrick Royce, Mr. Hockey himself, Mr. Turkey of the Year, Mackie and Judd, Score North YouTube channel.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for 2, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.